Father, we thank you for the service today. Thank you for the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done, everything you have bestowed upon our lives, in the day, in the night, whatever is happening, we say, thank you, Lord. Accept our praises in Jesus' name. And as we come today, speak to every heart. Let us know you more, serve you more, and be blessed more by you in Jesus' name. Be glorified in every life. Bless every family. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the gracious, grateful people of God said, today we're coming to the Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And then in verse 2, it tells us, serve the Lord with gladness, not with gloomy long faces, but serve the Lord with gladness, with joy, with happiness, with cheerfulness. Come before his presence with singing. And then in verse 3, it tells us, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and we not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then it tells us in verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, not with complaint, not with sorrow, not with kind of downheartedness, but you enter into the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And then in verse 5, it tells us, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. To me, the Lord is good. To me, the Lord is good. Every day, that will be your testimony in Jesus' name. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Even today in this generation, even today in our time, the mercy of the Lord continues, the truth of the Lord continues, the grace of the Lord continues, and the goodness of the Lord will continue till the end of your life in Jesus' name. He will bless you today. He will bless me today. Psalm 103, I'm reading from verse 1. In Psalm 103 verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. All that is within me, my thoughts, within me, my mind, within me, my heart, within me, and all the things that come out of me, they must be praising the Lord and blessing the Lord every time. Then in verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Then it tells us in verse 3, it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How many iniquities will the Lord forgive? All. And healeth all thy diseases. How many diseases will the Lord heal? Can he heal cancer? I said, can he heal tuberculosis? And the thing that wants to claim somebody's life, can he heal you today? It will heal in Jesus' name. And then in verse 4, it tells us, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, he renews, he satisfies the mouth with good things. He will satisfy your life with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He will renew your life, renew your youth in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 105, verse 37. Psalm 105, verse 37. It tells us, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. He brings you forth anywhere you go, anything you touch, he'll bring you forth with silver and gold in Jesus' name. And there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Any feeble person there? Any sick person there? It takes all our feebleness, all our sicknesses, all our weaknesses. It takes everything away. It will do it for every one of us in Jesus' name. Not one feeble person among their tribes. Today we're looking at believers' benefits from the gracious benefactor. Our God, our creator, our maker, our deliverer, our sustainer, our provider is our benefactor. And it's a gracious benefactor. By grace, he benefits our lives. By grace, he provides for our lives. And he does not discriminate. He's an impartial God. And he's a gracious God. He's a gracious benefactor. And then we have the benefits coming from the cross and coming from Christ and coming from the provision and the promises of the Lord. And those promises today, they are fulfilled in your life. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the character and the consecration of all truthful believers. A believer, when God makes you a believer and he touches your life, when God makes you a believer and he converts your soul, he puts something within you that loves the truth, that upholds the truth, that tells the truth, that embraces the truth. And then we have the character and the consecration of all truthful believers. Number two, the compromise and corruption of thoughtless backsliders. We're reading about the story of the children of Israel. The Bible tells us their history. And then the Psalms tells us and paints the picture of those people in the wilderness. They compromised their faith a lot of times, and they corrupted themselves because they were thoughtless. They were thoughtless of his provision. They were thoughtless of his promises. They were thoughtless of his dealings with them. They were thoughtless about the good things the Lord has done for them. It's only when somebody is thoughtless, he backslides. When he's thoughtless, he becomes compromising. When he's thoughtless, he corrupts himself. Number two, the compromise and corruption of thoughtless backsliders. Number three, the condition of covenant with the timeless benefactor. It's not dealing with time. From eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, is the same. And the goodness of the Lord in the past generation is the same goodness he maintains even today as a timeless, eternal, everlasting benefactor. The condition of covenant with the everlasting, timeless benefactor. Let's come to number one. Number one is the character and consecration of all truthful believers. God will make you a truthful believer, a righteous believer, an honest believer, and you will be a believer everywhere you go, anywhere you are. The character, the commitment, the consecration of a real believer will be reflected and demonstrated in your life in Jesus' name. And let's look at Psalm 101, reading from verse 2. Psalm 101, reading from verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And then he tells us in verse 3 there. In verse 3 he says, I will search no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. As we look at this section, there are three things we're looking at. Number one, the consecration of a true believer. The commitment, the consecration of a true believer. He says, I will. This is what I will do. This is my expression of absolute surrender unto the Lord. The consecration of a true believer. Number two, the character of a transformed believer. That life has been transformed. When you are created by God and you are wonderfully and fearfully made, and now you pass through the hand of God again and He recreates you, what a wonder comes. It touches your heart, it touches your life, it touches every part within and every part all around, and then He gives you the character of a transformed believer. Then number three is the companionship of a trustable believer. A believer you can lean on. A believer that is trustworthy. A believer that is trustable. That believer has companionship, and he has some people around him that are trustworthy as well. Number one is the consecration of a true believer. Look at Psalm 101, reading from verse 1. In Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. The psalmist remembers the mercy of God. And he says, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. That's the mercy that converted us. That's the mercy that was gracious to us. That's the mercy that took us out of the wilderness of sin and brings us into the wonder of His salvation. I will sing of the mercy and judgment of unto thee, O Lord, I will sing. Look at the beginning of the verse, I will sing. Look at the end of the verse, I will sing. He made up his mind. He said, nothing will take the praise of God from my mouth. That's why he says in Psalm 57, verse 7. Psalm 57, verse 7, he tells us about his determination, about his diligence, and about his commitment, and about his confession. Look at this. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing. I will sing. My heart is fixed. The storm, the wind may be blowing. My heart is fixed. It might appear people expect you to be crying, but you made up your mind. My heart is fixed. I will sing. And the things may be upside down. It may not be as you expect, but you make up your mind. And this is your consecration. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Look at Psalm 108, verse 1. In Psalm 108, verse 1, O God, my heart is fixed, I will sing. He said that before, he's saying that again. You see, there are people, when they're in the church, they say, oh Lord, I will worship you, I will praise you, I will sing, whatever is happening. And then something begins to happen, and they cannot sing again. Where is your heart? My heart is fixed to God. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory, with the glorious things and possession in my life. I will sing and give praise, and my heart is fixed. Look at Psalm 112, Psalm 112. We're reading from verse 7. It tells us, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. He shall not be afraid of bad news. He shall not be afraid of the plot of the enemy. He shall not be afraid of, you know, whatever he hears and whatever he reads, that they are coming, they are coming, they are coming. He said, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Somebody there will not be afraid. You will worship the Lord without fear. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Your heart is fixed, and all the time you are trusting in the Lord, there will be no disappointment in your life in Jesus' name. There will be no disappointment in my life. I said there will be no disappointment in my life. It will fulfill all His promises in your life in Jesus' name. That's the consecration of a true believer. Let's look at number two now. Number two is the character of a transformed believer. When we say somebody has salvation, that means somebody has conversion. Salvation, conversion, they're the same. Conversion, when you convert something, like you convert, you know, raw papers and the papers that have been, you know, cut off from the printers, and then you take to the people who convert, they convert those useless cut-offs into something very useful. That's conversion. And when your life has been worthless, your life has been colorless, your life has been, you know, godless, without character, and then you come to God and there is salvation, there is conversion, your life will be beautiful. And that's the conversion. It makes a transformation. And that's what we're talking about, the character of a transformed believer. Look at Psalm 101, reading from verse 2. I will behave myself. Now that I'm converted, I will behave myself. Now that I'm born again, I will behave myself. Now that I'm transformed, I will behave myself wisely, in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house in a with a perfect heart. It's telling us the character of a transformed believer is not only in the assembly. It is not only in the congregation. Anywhere, everywhere we go, that conversion still abides. Come back to my illustration of those wasted paper that is converted to maybe toilet roll or something like that. Anywhere that converted paper goes remains the same. The same thing with you as a child of God. If you're truly transformed, if you're truly saved, if you're truly born again, your life is the same, whether in church, in the congregation, in the assembly, or in the privacy of your house. Whether you are with the believers or with unbelievers, anywhere you find yourself, you'll behave yourself wisely, in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And then he says in verse 3, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. When you are really converted, God puts a hatred in your heart for whatever God hates. You are converted, you are now a child of God, and you are reflecting the life of Christ. Because of that, anything he hates, you hate. He hates sin. He hates compromise. He hates corruption. He hates evil. He hates all those things that people do behind the curtain, in the secrecy of their place. God hates them. And if you're a child of God, you will hate everything that God hates. That's why he says, I'm converted now. I'm born again now. I'm a child of God now. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And then in verse 4, it says in verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I will not investigate them. I will not say, why is that wicked person succeeding? Why is the wicked person always having a jolly time? I will not even think about that. I will not know, I will not recognize a wicked person. And then in verse 5, it tells us, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. What he's simply saying is, there are people that trade in gossip. Have you heard? Have you heard about so and so? About so and so? He says, I cut off relationship from them. The only thing they talk about, they don't talk about their own fault. They don't talk about their own life. They don't talk about their own need. What they are talking about is not helpful. They are talking about this. They are talking about that. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. That's the character of a righteous person. And I pray that that same character will be reflected in all our lives in Jesus' name. Did I hear an amen? Look at number three now. Number three is the companionship of a trustable believer. A believer who wants to have and remain a believer, he has companions around him, and the companions, look at their description. In Psalm 101 verse 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. We cannot go through life lonely without having people around us. You want to have friends that are faithful, that will support your vision, that will support your ideals, that will support your goal. And everywhere you want to go, they want to help you. They don't want to destroy you. They know your hope, they know your desire, and they know your aspiration. They know that in life you want to be everything God wants you to be. And those friends and those companions, they come to you, they have a perfect heart, they have a faithful heart, they want to serve the Lord, and they want to serve you as well. They are not there to take anything out of you, they are there to contribute your life and make you the happy, cheerful, prosperous, progressing person you ought to be. Friends that will exalt Christ in your life and not destroy the goal of your life. The Lord will give you the wisdom to search for them and to stay with them, abide with them in Jesus' name. Mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land. Think about David. David had, you know, Saul with 3,000 soldiers after him. And David needed friends and companions that could be trusted in the day and trusted in the night. That's why he said, mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land, day that they may dwell with me. I need them, that they may dwell with me. They are helpful, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. I pray that God will give us wisdom, that as we go through life, we'll go through life with faithful friends, helpful friends, and gracious friends in Jesus' name. We're looking at Psalm 119, verse 60. I made haste, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. He said, I'm not just wanting friends that are perfect. I want to be perfect too. I'm not just having friends that are good and gracious. I want to be good and gracious too. And so I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. And then in verse 63, it tells us, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, a companion, a friend, associate, acquaintance of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The companionship of a trustable believer. We're coming to point number two now. Point number two, the compromise and corruption of thoughtless backsliders. It is not good to backslide. I will not backslide. I said, I will not backslide. You know why? Because the Lord can come for you at any time. And if he comes when you are in a backsliding position, then you are lost forever. Now, we need to understand, when we read the Psalms and when we read the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, you will see that God is merciful. And you will hear, he forgiveth all their transgressions. But you must look at the whole story. When it says he forgives them, it's talking about them as a nation, as a nation. And then he brought them out of Egypt, and he took them through the wilderness, and they landed in the promised land as a nation. But the people that sinned in that nation, like when they spoke with their mouth and serpents came out and beat many of them died. But the nation still remained. All those who died with the biting of the serpent, because they died in their iniquity and they died in their sin. They didn't get to heaven. They didn't get to the promised land. And so you must understand when it says they sinned and he forgave them. They, as a nation, they sinned. And the people that really remained in that sin, they died. They didn't get to heaven. It's the nation remaining that got to the promised land. So always remember that. So all these things that we read, don't just say, he forgave them, he'll forgive me. We don't know. We don't know, because we know people who sinned and they died in that sin. You remember Achan? He died in that sin. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? They died in that sin. The people that remain as a nation, the people that remain as a congregation, God will forgive those who remain alive, and they can be forgiven. But the people that just go like that, suddenly, unto man it's appointed once to die, and after this the judgment. That's why we're considering now the compromise and corruption of thoughtless backsliders. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the corruption that provoked the Lord. The corruption that provoked the Lord. Number two, the condemnation for provoking the Lord. Those who provoked the Lord, the condemnation that came upon them. Number three, the command not to provoke the Lord. He has commanded us not to provoke the Lord. We're coming to Psalm 106 now, and that's point number one, the corruption that provoked the Lord. Psalm 106 verse 7, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. And then he tells us in verse 13, it says, they soon forgot his words, and they waited not for his counsel. All the people that forget God, they will come to judgment, and he throws them into hell. And it says, they soon forgot his words. They waited not for his counsel. That's what provoked him. In verse 14, it says, verse 14, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and they tempted God in the desert. In verse 15, it tells us, it says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. He judged them. So don't have the idea, he forgave them, he'll forgive me, and whatever I do, anywhere I put my mouth, anywhere I put my feet, any deception, any lie, any corruption, no problem, God will forgive me. Yes, God will, if you have chance to repent. There are people that do not have chance to repent, and they die like that, and he sends leanness into their souls. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it says, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. That's what provoked the Lord. They corrupted their lives and they provoked the Lord. In verse 20, it tells us, thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. Verse 21, then it tells us, they forgot God their Savior. They forgot God their Savior. All the people that forgot God, their Savior, and they died in that forgetfulness, which is their foolishness. If they perished in that forgetfulness, they are not in Abraham's bosom now. They are not in heaven now. But the nation that remained, that still went on of those that are of the age of 20 and below, when they left Egypt, they go to the land of Canaan. So as a nation, he didn't totally wipe them off, as he told Moses he will do. He still got the younger generation into the promised land, but the older generation that provoked the Lord, they perished in the wilderness. I pray you will not perish. I pray I will not perish. The Lord keep you from corruption in Jesus' name. And look at Psalm 78. We're looking at Psalm 78, verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Verse 41, it says, yes, they turned back and tempted God and delimited the Holy One of Israel. It tells us in verse 42, it says, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. You see, that's Old Testament. Can there be corruption like that in the New Testament? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're reading from verse 19. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. There are some preachers, they promise other people liberty. You can do as you please. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love. Go and read the Psalms. You see, his mercy endureth forever. Yes. His mercy endureth forever of the generation remaining, but the people that provoked him with their corruption, they died in the wilderness. But the mercy of God still continues for those who are alive, who repent and don't want to seek the face of the Lord. But these promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. And then in verse 20, we're told, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, that's backsliding, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them. The mercy of God still continues with those who repent. The mercy of the Lord still continues to those who abide in the Lord. And the grace of God abides in them. But for the people who yield to corruption, it says their latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I pray your latter end will be better, will be brighter, will be higher in Jesus' name. You will not join corruption and corruptors. Your life will be in the grace of God and in godliness for the rest of your life in Jesus' name. Let's look at number two here. Number two is the condemnation for provoking the Lord. The condemnation for provoking the Lord. In Psalm 106, reading from verse 24, yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word. They despised the pleasant land, they despised the promised land, they despised the provision of the promise the Lord has given them. Do you know there are people that do that today? They despise heaven, they despise glory, they despise the other side. That when we leave this world, they say, holiness without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Heaven, 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 I am hungry, you're talking about heaven. I don't have clothes, you're talking about heaven. They don't praise God when there's no food. They don't praise God in the famine. They don't praise God when there is no clothing. They don't praise God when they don't have all the things of this world. They are centered on the things of the world. We praise the Lord and glorify his name, and we thank him even when there's no food. And it is in the praising of the Lord food will come, clothing will come, job will come. Am I hearing any amen there? And wife will come. I pray for you that this year will not pass you by. Husband will come. I pray for you that this year will not pass you by. But you know, frowning makes us ugly. Being gloomy makes us ugly. You're looking for wife, you're looking for husband, and then anywhere you are outside, the way you carry yourself, you're never happy, you're never cheerful. Even if somebody is to know the will of God to you, he said, this man has too much burden. I have burden, he has burden, and he carries his burden everywhere. I don't want to join him, I don't want to join her, so that our burdens will multiply. Cheer up, the Lord is on your side. Cheer up, good things are coming to you. When you're always cheerful, it's easy to see the will of God to somebody who is always cheerful, always happy. You don't have anything at home. It's like you have the whole world. You're relying on the promises of God, and you say, I know God will provide for me. I know God will provide for me. And will provide. I said he will provide. Carry your cross with a smile. And whatever is happening in your life, don't let the devil see you crying all the time. The devil is wicked. He likes to see people crying all the time. And when you cry and cry and cry, he'll give you more things to cry about. The devil will not see me cry. Say it for yourself. Enemies will not see me cry. They see the smile of God on your face every time. And life will be better. If you're sick now, he will heal you. If you're oppressed, he will relieve you in Jesus' name. God made you not for Satan to laugh at you. He made you so that you'll be a trophy in the crown of the Lord in Jesus' name. But they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. Look at verse 25. It says in verse 25, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not to the voice of the Lord. In verse 26, it tells us, therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. You understand now? Those people that murmured, and those people that complained, and those people that said, who is God? What has he done? What did he take us out of Egypt? The mercy of God did not continue with them. Only the people that said, we're grateful. Look at where we are now, and look at what we have now, and look at what God has provided. Those are the people that had the mercy of God with them all the days of their lives, but they were overthrown. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, it said to overthrow their seed also among the nations and to scatter them in the lands. In verse 28, it tells us they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate sacrifices of the dead. You see what they did and how God brought condemnation upon them in verse 29. In verse 29, thus they provoked him to anger. They provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke in upon them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're reading from verse 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, reading from verse 5, see what warning the Lord is giving us because of those people that came under condemnation. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In verse 6, it says, now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, so that we don't provoke the Lord. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 tells us, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. Verse 8 tells us, it says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them also committed and fell in one day, 23,000. All those people that committed fornication, they didn't have chance to repent, and they fell, they died in one day, 23,000, and other people died later. They died in condemnation. They were not restored. They perished. They are not in heaven. They went to hell. And the Lord is warning us that we should not be like them, so that the sudden death, the sudden destruction, and the eternal judgment that came upon them will not come upon us. In verse 9, it tells us in verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10 tells us, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured. You see, there are people, they do not understand that murmuring is sin. They think everybody does it. Not everybody. Everybody does not do it. Even in the land of Israel, everybody did not murmur. But those who murmured, they were dealt with in severe judgment by the Lord. And he's saying that since we have seen their history, how they corrupted themselves, how they provoked the Lord, and the condemnation that came upon them, he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and they were destroyed of the destroyer. Then verse 11 brings the lesson for us. He says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are reaching for our admonition, for our learning, for our encouragement, for our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Look at number 3 there. Number 3 is the command not to provoke the Lord. The command not to provoke the Lord. I will not provoke the Lord. Now understand, you want something from somebody, and as you get to him, and what you want is very important to you, and you know he can provide what you are asking for, and as you get to him, you know what he doesn't like, you know what he hates, and you know what infuriates him. Although before you ask what you are asking, you provoke him. And you make him unhappy. You make him sad. And you come and you show that you don't love him. You don't respect him. You have not even made your request. And you are provoking him. After provoking him, if you ask for the request, will he grant it? I can't hear you. If what you are asking from him is very important to you, if the favor you demand from him is very important to you, if what you are asking that he will give you will make you happy and will make your life prosperous and will make your life fulfilled, the one thing you don't want to do is to provoke him. Don't provoke the Lord, because he's the one who can answer your prayer. He's the one who can bless you. And because of that, you don't want to do anything anytime that will provoke the Lord. And then when you come to pray, you'll say, you know how to ask, you know how to demand, you know how to wish for this and that, but you're in provocation all the time. That's why he commands us not to provoke the Lord. In Exodus chapter 23, we're looking at verse 20. Exodus chapter 23, we're reading from verse 20. Behold, I send an angel, capital A. That's the Lord before his incarnation. It says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in thy way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. He's the one to bring us to the place that he has prepared, and to fulfill all the promises of God in our lives. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not. You want him to guide you and lead you, provoke him not. You want him to show you the way into the abundance of the provision of God for you, provoke him not. You want him to bring the fulfillment of the promises of God into your life, into your family, provoke him not. You trust him, you depend upon him to answer your prayer, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak through him, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. No amen? Yeah. Verse 25. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, it says, and you shall serve the Lord your God, you'll not provoke him, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. There's no provocation. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And then in verse 26, he tells us, in verse 26, he's telling us that he will fulfill the number of our days. He will fulfill all the promises he has given us, because we avoid provoking him, we avoid tempting him, and we avoid doing anything that will set a wall of demarcation between us and him. Provoke him not, so that the promises of the Lord will be yes and amen in your life. Amen in my life. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. The number of my days he will fulfill. The number of my days he will fulfill. And he'll fulfill all the promises of God in every one of our lives, in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number three. Point number three is the condition of covenant with the timeless, eternal, everlasting, ever-living benefactor. We're coming to Psalm 103, and we're reading from verse 17. Psalm 103, reading from verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Look at what follows. The mercy of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, the faithfulness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Upon them, that's the condition, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto their children's children. Then in verse 18, he tells us to such as keep his covenant. That's the condition. There's a condition for us to have the benefits of the covenant, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And then he tells us in verse 19 tells us, he says, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his government is a kingdom, his rule rulers over all. When you see those conditions of the Lord, and you see those conditions that God himself has stated in his word, that yes, he has a covenant, and that covenant provides everything you need, all the benefits you need, and all the goodness you need. But then he says, it is for the people that fear him, it is for the people that love him, it is for the people that obey his commandments. When you then get more of the grace of God and the goodness of God in your life, life and you're obedient to the Lord, then you will see that you are gracious, you are grateful, and you are earnest in asking for and receiving the blessings of the Lord. It will not fail in your life. It will not fail when you pray. And when you pray, it will answer you in Jesus' name. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and he sits on the throne of mercy, on the throne of grace. And because you are fulfilling the condition that he has stated in his word, because of that you come boldly before him to receive grace and mercy from the Lord, and he will fulfill that for you in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 105. I'm reading from verse 7. Psalm 105 verse 7. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. No matter where you are in the whole wide world, the Lord can see you there. And as you fulfill the condition that he has given, his grace, his mercy, his love, his provision and promises will be yours in Jesus' name. Look at verse 8. It tells us in verse 8, it says, he has remembered his covenant forever. For those who are covenant keepers, for those who are faithful, and for those who are absolutely surrendered unto him, he has remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. And then he says in verse 9, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. In verse 10, that and he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a love, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. We're coming to Psalm 106, reading from verse 45. Psalm 106, verse 45. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercy. For those who remained alive, who had not been swept off by the wave and the ocean of the judgment of God into a Christ-like eternity, godless eternity, for those who are still alive, he remembers the multitude of his mercies. Then in the final verse there, verse 48, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. And I pray that every action of your life, every behavior in your life, every comportment that you manifest will be a praise and glory unto the Lord in Jesus' name. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the condition of benefits in the kingdom. The condition of benefits in the kingdom, in the covenant. Number two, the completeness of blessings in the covenant. The covenant is complete. Everything you will ever need for spiritual life, for natural life, for family life, for your professional life, and for just your safety, your security, everything you need, everything is provided in the covenant. And I pray that as you pray, the Lord will reveal his favor and the benefits unto you in Jesus' name. Number three, the confirmation through the blood of the covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ is the greatest blood, is the highest, of the highest value. All the blood of the animals, the shed in the Old Testament, did not have as much value. Put them all together in all those decades and centuries and generations, and then compare that with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has the highest value in the mind of God and the court of heaven. And because of the blood of that covenant, all the blessings through the blood will come to your life in Jesus' name. Look at number one. Number one is the condition of benefits in the covenant. The condition of benefits in the covenant. In Psalm 103, we're looking at verse 17 again. Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. That's the condition of the benefits. Upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto their children's children. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, it tells us to such as keep his covenant. They respect God enough to keep his covenant. They love God enough to keep his covenant. They honor God enough to keep his covenant. And to those who remember his commandments to do them, that's the condition he has given. And that's the condition he's looking for. You are praying, first of all, tell him to give you grace to be obedient to his commandment and to his covenant. And it is to those obedient to him, he will give the fulfillment of his promises. Let's come now to number two there. Number two, the completeness of blessings in the covenant. Everything you need is provided for. Everything I need is provided for. Sunshine in your life, happiness in your life, joy in your life, provision in your life, in Jesus' name. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we're reading from verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that's the condition. If ye hearken and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which is where unto thy fathers. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, it tells us, and the Lord will take away from thee, and the Lord will take away from thee, and the Lord will take away from me. Say it for yourself. And the Lord will take away from me all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but he will lay them upon them that hate thee. Any amen? Sickness gone. Disease is gone. And the Lord fulfill his good pleasure in your life, in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeemed from the curse of the law. Curses all canceled out of your life. Infirmities all taken away from your life. Disaster all taken away from your life, in Jesus' name. Because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He has borne all our curses. He has taken all our curses. Either the curse from the Old Testament, Of the curse from the village, or the curse from anybody behind the curtain that hates you, no curse will be attached to your life anymore, in Jesus' name. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then in verse 14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I will receive the promise. I have received the promise. All the promises of God will be yes and amen in your life, in Jesus' name. On the basis of the covenant, look at verse 15. In verse 15, it says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. It will not be canceled in your life. Every promise of God today coming upon your life, in Jesus' name. Let's come to number three now. Number three is the confirmation through the blood of the covenant. Confirmation. Somebody help me shout confirmation. In your life today, confirmation. In your family today, confirmation. Everything God has promised and provided, confirmation in your life in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 105 verse 10. And confirmed the same unto Joseph for a law, unto Jacob for a law. You understand? When God made that covenant with Abraham, Jacob was not yet born. He was not yet here on earth. And yet God made the covenant with Abraham. And then Abraham lived old, and then he died, but the covenant remained. And as Jacob came, even though he was not alive when the covenant was made with Abraham, it was confirmed in his life. You know what I'm telling you? You were not here when Jesus died on the cross, and then the covenant for salvation, the covenant for healing, the covenant for deliverance, the covenant that has provided, when he provided it in his blood, you were not here. He died, he was buried, he rose again, he's in heaven now, and to you on this glorious day, the Lord confirms the covenant. And it will be done in your life. It says he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. Now, I'm asking you an obvious question. Since that time, has everlasting ended? I said, since that time has everlasting ended? Everlasting is still continuing today, and because of that, the benefit of the everlasting covenant is upon your life today. Now, let's come to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, I am reading now from verse 1. In Psalm 103, looking at verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Will your soul bless the Lord today? Because he fulfills his covenant, because he blesses you, because he forgives all sins, because he heals all sicknesses, because he provides all the provision of Calvary upon your life, your soul will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Look at verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Anything you don't have, Calvary has provided. Anything you are praying for, Calvary has provided. And when you are praying and when you are seeking the Lord, don't forget. Forget not all his benefits. Look at a few of them. Verse 3. It says in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. What does he forgive? Whatever you have done in the past, anytime, as you come to the Lord and say, Lord, you say, yes, I know what you're asking for, and he will forgive all trespasses, all iniquities. He will save your soul if you are not yet saved. If you're backsliding, he will restore you. If you're a child of God, but you are sorry for something, he will forgive and overlook in Jesus' name. Who healeth, tell me. Who healeth, tell me. Say it for yourself. Now, who healeth? When? Now, he healeth, he healeth, he healeth. He's going to do it. I see the healing upon you there. I see deliverance upon you there. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 tells us, he says in verse 4, he redeemeth my life. He redeemed your life today in Jesus' name. And that life will be profitable, and that life will be progressive, and that life will be useful in Jesus' name. Because he forgives, and then after that, he heals, and then he redeems your life from all destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, he will do it for you. I said he will do it for you. And then he tells us in verse 5, he says in verse 5, he satisfies thy mouth with good things. No good thing will he withhold from any of us in Jesus' name. Satisfaction abundance. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundant life, satisfactory life, overflowing life will come to every one of us in Jesus' name. He will satisfy whatever you are asking from the Lord, whatever you are demanding from the Lord. Satisfaction is in Him. Abundant provision is in Him, because He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And anything you are demanding today, anything you are asking today, He is able and is willing. In my life, He is able and He is willing. In your life, He is able and He is willing. He will not fail. That's why He says, when you come to the Lord to pray, believe that those things you have asked for, that the Lord has granted them, and it shall be yours in Jesus' name. When there is life, there is hope. You're still alive, and because you're still alive, He is the one that protected your life and preserved your life to be here until this day. And He says, whatever you ask, it will grant unto you. Whatever you demand, it will grant unto you. There'll be satisfaction in your life. There'll be satisfaction in my life, because God is still on the throne, and what He has promised is going to fulfill. Who satisfied my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Give me a good amen there. You know, if you're feeling weary and weak and tired, it's like I should be sleeping now, I'm so worn out. And day you come to the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. You will walk, you'll not be weary. You will run and you will not faint. And then everything that is lost in your life, anything that is, you know, gone out of your life, the virtue and the power and the grace and the strength and the vitality and the positive attitude you ought to have, anything that has gone down, the Lord is going to supply it in your life today in Jesus' name. It will renew my youth like that of the eagle. It will renew my youth like that of the eagle. He'll renew your life. Are you ready? He'll replenish your life. Are you ready? He'll revive your life. Are you ready? And He'll bring life and vitality into your life, even today in Jesus' name. Where are you? Why don't you rise up and make this time a time to open your heart unto the Lord, and a time to say, Lord, here I am. I know the promises you have given, and I'm going to be a partaker, a beneficiary of all those promises you have made. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord and tell Him that He says He will renew your youth. He will renew your life. Let Him do it. You are not just looking here and there. You are concentrating now on the Lord, and you're giving yourself afresh, and you are surrendering your life afresh unto the Lord, and you are saying, oh Lord, here am I, do what you have said. It will do it in Jesus' name. Tell the Lord that you commit yourself, and that you will sing unto the Lord, and you will praise His holy name. There's a determination. There is a fixation in your heart, and there is a diligence in your life that you are going to praise the Lord, you are going to honor the Lord, you are going to sing unto the Lord. My heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed. My mind is fixed, O Lord. My heart, my mind is fixed. Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. His heart was fixed. His mind was fixed. It was focused on the Lord. The same thing if you're a true believer. The same thing if you have come to taste the grace of God. Your heart is fixed. You have a purpose of heart. You're going to keep on honoring the Lord, and you're going to keep on praising the name of the Lord. And then you are telling the Lord, oh Lord, search me and know my heart today. Search me and know my heart, I pray. And see, if there be any wicked thing in me, cleanse me and purge me, that I may go in the path of righteousness, the character of a transformed believer. Lord, do another transformation, and do a greater transformation, and do a higher transformation in my life. I want to have that character, the character that is recognized in heaven, that anywhere I am, my light is shining. Anywhere I am, the goodness of God is reflected in my life, that people may see my good works and glorify my Father who is in heaven. That you will be a companion of the people that trust the Lord, a companion of the people that fear the Lord, a companion, a friend, a fellowship of the people who love the Lord, who fear the Lord, who honor the Lord, who obey the Lord. You are not going to be a companion of backsliders, a companion of wicked people, a companion of graceless people, a companion of godless people. But your friends, the people around you, will be the people that love the Lord, and the people that honor the Lord, and the people that fear the Lord. I'm a companion of the people that fear the Lord. I'm a companion of the people that obey the word of the Lord. And I myself, I made haste to obey your commandment. I made haste that I will walk in the way of the Lord, and I will not be a compromiser. I will not be a corrupter. Any corruption that provokes the Lord, that corruption will not attach itself to me. The corruption of murmuring, not me. The corruption of tempting the Lord, not me. The corruption of idolatry, not me. The corruption of fornication, not me. The corruption of the sins and of the world, of worldliness, not me. You are going to follow the Lord without corruption. You're going to follow the Lord without any compromise. You will stand like Daniel stood. You will stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood. You will stand like Paul stood. You will stand like Peter and John, like the stood. Whether it be right in the sight of God to obey you more than God judge ye, but we cannot but obey that which we have known. And when they saw their boldness, when they saw their courage, they took knowledge of them that they had been with the Lord. Let that be your lifestyle. No corruption. No corruption, no corruption, and no compromise in your life. And then remember the covenant, salvation through that covenant. Remember the covenant, sanctification, holiness through that covenant. Remember the covenant, the mind of Christ given unto us through that covenant. Remember the covenant, and the law of God is written in our heart. And everywhere we go, as we pray unto the Lord, we're praying on the basis of the covenant, and we know that that covenant will be fulfilled in our lives. Remember the benefits of the covenant. Salvation is there, forgiveness is there, and conversion is there, transformation is there, sanctification is there, holiness is there, healing is there, deliverance is there, and multiplied blessings are there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your prayers are answered in Jesus' name. You will not go back home as you came. Amen. Addition in your life. Amen. Multiplication in your life. Amen. And the goodness of the Lord to satisfaction in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe? Amen. You accept that? Amen. You know for a certainty that there is satisfaction in your life from today? Amen. Where are you? Wonderful. Wonders in your life. Yes. Goodness in your life. Yes. Victory in your life in Jesus' name. That thing that brought you down before will not bring you down anymore. Yes. Abundance. Yes. Satisfaction. Yes. Goodness. Yes. Grace of God. Yes. Abundant life. Yes. Abundant provision. Yes. abundant goodness of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for what you have revealed unto us. Lord, I pray, any guilt, any condemnation, forgive your people and wipe the condemnation away in Jesus' name. New life in everyone. Abundant life in everyone. And the provision of Calvary, of pardon, of peace, of purity, of power, I pray it will come upon every life right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray feebleness take away. Weakness take away. Every sickness, whatever name, take that sickness away in Jesus' name. Healing for everyone. Health for everyone. Strength for everyone. I pray, Lord, what they were not able to do before, they'll begin to do right now. And I pray, Lord, as they go out of the service, every step of the way, one, two, as they take those steps, blessing and benefit, blessing and benefit, blessing and benefit upon every life in Jesus' name. And the praise of the Lord will never leave your mouth. Testimony will never leave your mouth. And the goodness of God will follow you everywhere you go in Jesus' name. Now let the weak say, let the poor say, let those who are downtrodden say, I'm uplifted. The Lord lifts you up and you stand on the top of your mountain in sunshine all the days of your life in Jesus' name. You will walk, you'll not be weary. You will run, you will not faint. And everything you need at every crossroad, every point in time in your life, the Lord supply abundantly in Jesus' name. It is done. It is done. You are blessed. I am blessed. In Jesus' name we pray.